Can you kindly stretch that holy hand to someone beside you? Give them that holy hand and say, welcome to church.
Welcome to church.
Bless them this morning. Bless them. Yes, Jesus said, you go into a place. You say, peace be to them. And he says, your peace will abide. But you can take your peace away if there is no child of peace. And since we are gathered in the presence of the Eternal One, the God of all peace himself, I know you have brought peace. Sorry, no use this. I still struggle many times. And I was talking to myself that I don't seem to have graduated from God. I continue to remain a student, and why do I always just, why does my heart beat very fast anytime I have to talk about God? And I realize it's because He is God, and a man wants to talk about the divine. I want to explain the divine one. So I see my limitations, and that without him, I'll be blind. Mm-hmm. And so I need to trust him. I'm always reminded that my ability comes from his grace.
Amen.
And I do hope that's your position this morning. That the ability to hear and to understand is a gift from God.
Amen.
And that you will take the gift he will offer you this morning as you listen to a feeble man talk about the only potentate. Eternal Father, we thank you this morning. We have come just as we are. And we know that when we come by faith, we see your face and your mighty hands upon us, achieving your own counsel. Lord, speak to us by yourself, by your spirit, minister, beyond the voice and the sound of the word. Let your grace prevail in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So this morning I'll be talking about praying without season. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, from verse 16, 17, 18. Apostle Paul writing to a church that had been afflicted, a people that have felt rejected, abandoned, neglected, oppressed, a people who had suffered loss, death was prevalent. They've lost properties. They've lost family members. Because they are turned to the faith. Because they have believed that Christ died and resurrected. And Apostle Paul says to them, to a people who were weeping, rejoice. Oh my God. Rejoice. If I buy a car, you don't need to tell me to rejoice. I know. If I build a house, you don't need to tell me to rejoice. Nobody needs to tell you. Because those things in themselves evoke joy. They evoke peace. But when you lose something, and somebody says rejoice, you need to think twice. What's he saying? Is our God full of evil that he wants us to be rejoicing in the wickedness that men have shown towards us? What exactly is the source of our joy? He says to them, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. He must be saying something different from what the world teaches. If in the midst of all that they have gone through, they are meant to rejoice. Not only to rejoice, but to rejoice evermore. I can rejoice, but to then say to rejoice always, at all time, in every situation, to rejoice. What's he saying? You see, this message has been recorded for us in Thessalonians so that you and I may learn from it. The world wants you to believe that when there is calamity, God is unfaithful. Yet, God did not withhold his son from the corruption of the world. He delivered him all. A God that did not save his son from mortal men, but gave him freely, was it because he was wicked? God showed us an example that the things we are going through, he is gone through it. And if we choose his example, or we look to his example, we may find comfort for our soul. Paul wants these people to know that when things are going wrong, it's not the lack of God's presence. So he says, you see, that word itself, pray without ceasing, means pray without giving up. Pray without relenting. Pray without being discouraged from praying. Pray without thinking God is not listening to you because you have not seen what you want to see.
Amen.
God is with you. So pray believing that he hears you and he's working on your behalf. You see that song? Even when I don't see it, he's working.
Amen.
Jacob prayed for his son, Joseph, father, father. But God could not answer until he becomes the prime minister. Because there is a time for an answer. God could deliver him from Potiphar's house, but God did not, because that's not the time for the answer. He will have come back to Israel. First year in prison, God did not deliver him. Not because God could not, but because that's not the time for the answer. He will not be prime minister. He even helped a man and said, remember me when you go out. Tell about me. But God did not answer because that was not the time. It took 2 years after. And then the man remembered. Because that is the answer. Just that it will not tarry, even if it tarries. Because the Lord will never be late. And so Paul says to them, rejoice evermore in hope that God is consistent.
Amen.
And that's what I'm saying to you this morning. I think I should close my book and say I'm done. But this is all I want to tell you this morning. That God is with you and he will never fail.
Amen.
God is by you. He has never failed and he will not fail. Pray, my brethren, without ceasing. Let me tell you a little. If you go to set for verse 1, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. This is what Paul said. I want to read a few scriptures today, and I encourage you to just follow me. A little more than what you have there, but let's just go into scripture. He said, but of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. What was he referring to? He had told them in chapter 4 about the coming of the Lord and that they should comfort themselves with these words that Christ is coming. But he then tells them that of the times and the season that Christ is coming, they need not worry. Why do you think he wrote it? It's because when you are in pain, one of the questions you ask, when will the end come? When will this be over? Some had lost family members. So when? They believe in the Lord. Look at the next verse. He said, for yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. Well, you know it. So there are no doubts that Christ is coming. But the question is when? Because this pain needs to be over. And sometimes that's the question. You're going through a situation. You know that God is powerful. But the question is, when will he answer? He said, pray without ceasing. Pray without giving up. Your role is to pray. To hold on by faith that God is on your side.
Amen.
You know perfectly that the day of the Lord will come. But it will not come to you as a believer, as a thief in the night. It's coming as a thief to those who do not believe.
Amen.
To you, he said, you know. In fact, you are expecting it. You are eagerly waiting for it. But since you know, don't worry about the time. Because it can discourage you. Keep your heart in the truth of God. Why did he have to say that to them? Again, it's because of what they were going through, the persecution, what they had been experiencing. But the word of God needed to come to them and to say to them, don't feel hopeless. Don't feel helpless. These are feelings that follow us when uncertainty comes in or creep in. Don't feel abandoned. You know, I like that song. He says, God's able to do just what he said he will do. He's gonna fulfill every promise to you. Don't give up on God, for he won't give up on you. He's able. God's going to do what he has promised.
Amen.
Don't give up on God. He's on your side. 1 Thessalonians 2:14. Look at what this text, what the Apostle Paul said. Search for it for me. Folks, when you and I did not believe in God, when you and I had not believed in God, the scripture tells us that God knocks at the door of our heart. How can he knock at the door if he's not close to us? Think about it. Can he knock at the door of your heart if he's far away from you? And that was when we did not know him. The Bible says he knocks at the door, which means even for us when we were unbelievers, God was by our side. Now, think about it. Now that we have opened the gate of our hearts, now that we have believed, where do you think he is? The Bible says he's present with us. He lives in us. And therefore, he will not leave nor forsake you. The things you might be going through, the pains you might be suffering from, the persecution, the rejection, the unfair treatment, God feels it much more than your emotion can palpitate. God knows it far better. He feels your pain. He's touched with the feelings of our challenges and infirmities. The psalmist said, our tears are written in his book. Every drop of tears that comes from your eye is in his book, is written, is accounted for. None of it, not a single one of it. I'm careful not to digress, but listen to me today. I don't know, Jesus might come after this meeting, so I will not have opportunity to talk to you again. The Bible tells you and I, say, if the righteous are scarcely saved from persecution, from pain, If the righteous are scarcely delivered by God from persecution, if the righteous are allowed by God to suffer in this world, what do you think the end of the unjust will be? If God allowed you, his children, to go through suffering, when he can deliver you with a touch of his finger, but chooses in order that his name and his word might remain consistent, he's told you, you will go through suffering. Some of you will be killed. He said it. Some, in fact, those who kill you will think they are doing God a service. But if God will allow the righteous to go through such experiences, Stephen in Acts chapter 7, stay with me. Stephen in Acts chapter 7, the Bible said he saw heaven and he still died. Think about it. He said, I see the Son of Man. Acts 7:55 to 60. I see the Son of Man. He is able to do all things. Sorry. But you see, it still did not deliver him. Acts chapter 12. James was killed. God did not deliver him. Not because he is not able. This is what it means. Oh my God. First Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. For ye brethren, you became followers of the churches of God, which is in Judea, that are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered. Just worship Jesus, just bless his name and say, Father, thank you. Thank you for the blood of your Son. Thank you for the Savior. Ah, say, what is man that you're mindful of him, the Son of Man? Oh God, I worship you, Lord. I give you praise. Who am I that you would die for me? Who am I that you would send your only Son? You made the heavens and the earth, but yet the mortal, they killed your Son. They acted as though you are not powerful, as though you are not able to save, as though you cannot deliver. But the scripture tells us that your hand is not short. For you too, O God, all things are possible. And on the last day, you will avenge the blood of your saints upon the nation. So they will see the one that they have pierced. They will see the risen Lord. And Father, I'm praying for those who are listening to us, those who are who might not have come to the knowledge of your Son, that they might know the price you paid, that you have paid the highest price. You have given your best already. You have done all that is required, that they may know that it is finished.
Christ have died. Christ is risen. And there is hope for those who believe. Let me find love in you, O God. Go back into 1 Thessalonians. Thank you, brother. You can play. Chapter 2, verse 14. For ye brethren, you became followers of the churches of God, which is in Judea, in Christ Jesus. For you have suffered. What did the church in Judea suffer? The apostles, those who lead us, let me read a few things. In Acts chapter 7, that we said, verse 55, Stephen, a man filled with the Spirit, was stoned to death. And I asked God, this man saw Jesus on the throne. What greater manifestation of your glory? Why did you allow the stones to kill him? And the Lord will say, that's my grace. He has finished his course. He has completed. No one could take him except I. No one could take him. The stone could not kill Stephen. It wasn't the stones. It was the Lord. It was his time. Because no one can change the will of God. And God shows to us that in pains he can be glorified. Amen. Do you know what Stephen said? Stephen did not say, Lord, why are you not saving me? He went beyond that and prayed for those who stoned him. Oh my God. Until you begin to understand that the things you are going through right now cannot compare to the weight of glory reserved for you. You may not be able to rejoice ever. But you need to know it so that you can rejoice evermore.
Amen.
Stephen was rejoicing even when he was being stoned. He's not happy that he was stoned, but the stones could not take his joy away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Look at what happened in Acts chapter 5. I want to challenge you that you've been giving all. All things that pertain to life and godliness. Your life is complete. There is nothing God is desirous of giving you that he has not given you in his Christ. There is nothing that God has destined for you that has not been released already. Every single thing. Natural scripture says all things, 2 Peter chapter 1, that pertains to life and godliness has been given to us. They get revealed from time to time. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But they are giving already. Because they were giving on the basis of the death and the resurrection of Christ. In Acts 5, this is what happened. The apostles have been arrested and they have been commanded not to speak. Verse 40. Acts 5, 40 and 41. And to him, to a certain man who had advised him, they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, these were old men, beaten. According to the law of Moses, you give them 39 lashes each, 39. You can't give them 40. They could not give them 14. When they want to give them more than that, they will stop at 39 and start. 39. After they had beaten them, they commanded them. They said, like we have been told in this nation and in the nations that are rejecting God, that they should not speak in the name of Jesus. And they let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council. After being beaten, being what? Rejoicing. How will you know they were rejoicing? Because they were not doing it just in their heart. They were doing it outwardly. Hallelujah.
Amen.
They were singing praises. Yahweh, hallelujah. And you wonder, are these the men that were beaten? You guys, something else is happening to you. They went home rejoicing. And the Bible says they were counted. You know, this is, they were rejoicing because they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. So they recognized that it was shameful. And they were rejoicing. This is where God wants you and I to be. This attitude must be in you also. They went rejoicing. Now I've lost track of time. I need to be helped. Find it. Hallelujah. Let me mention four reasons why you must continue to trust God, and then we close. The first is that it is the will of God. And that's what we see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. It says, in everything give thanks. In everything means in every single thing, whether they are good or they are bad. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20 says, for everything, for even the thing. Here it says, in everything, Ephesians 5 says, for every one of it. Be thankful for the good that come your way. Be thankful for the bad. Why? Because all things, good or bad, work together for your good. So I thank God when I'm persecuted. I thank God when I have freedom to preach the word. I thank God when I'm appreciated. I thank God when I'm not appreciated. Because both works out the will of God. Second, it's a light affliction. Whatever negative thing I go through in the world is light compared to what Christ went through. So if you put it side by side with Christ, you consider yourself honored. Romans 8:18 says, I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, for our light affliction is but for a moment, and it works out a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. The third reason is that it works for our good. That's Romans 8:28. That all things work together for the good of them that love God. All things work together. The fourth thing, it's a blessing from God. When you go through difficulties, it's part of God's blessing to you. How do I know that? Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. He says to us, for unto us it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. It means our suffering is also a gift. It's also a blessing. We're blessed to believe. We're blessed to suffer. Wow. Finally, let's close with this. James 5:11 says, we count them happy who endure. James 5:11. We count them blessed who endure. And he went on to say, you have heard of the patience of Job, and I've seen that the end of the Lord, you see the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and tenderness. In essence, no matter what you are going through, the end, it will end in God. Philippians, 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not vain in the Lord, in essence, continue to be faithful. Because it's not vain, it's going to be rewarded. Hallelujah. This is what Philippians 4:8 says. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be anything worthy of praise, think on these things. in order to keep yourself sane, it recommends where your heart should be. Because the things you put your attention to will influence your thought pattern. If you will rejoice, think about joyful things. The testimony of the Lord.
Amen.
I'm closing. Two more scriptures. First Peter chapter 5, verse 10. First Peter chapter 5, verse 10. Still remains like an encouragement. Hear what it says. Yeah. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered for a while, will make you perfect. He will establish you. He will strengthen you. And he will set you.
Amen.
This is the testimony. That the Lord will grant you a glorious end.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the scripture says. We're not going through a hopeless situation. There is hope in God. There is hope in God. Revelation 21:4 says, he will wipe away our tears. Bow your heads. Let us pray.